This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf on your flagship station for New York sports. The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN New York.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Rick Wolf's Sports Edge. I'm your host, Rick Wolf. Now, coming up later in the hour, if we have time, well, I have to tell you, I still get all sorts of calls and emails about too many high school travel and club coaches who really think that the best way to communicate with their players is to yell and scream and to intimidate them in order to somehow get better results. Please, coaches, I urge you, that approach is really prehistoric and is outdated. It didn't work 25 years ago, and it sure doesn't work today. But again, we'll come back to that later on in the hour. But first up, an item in the paper caught my attention the other day, and, well, once I tell you about it, I have every expectation that this may ignite one of the most unusual hours on the Sports Edge ever. Now, this past winter, in the state of Connecticut, two high school sprinters who are biological boys, but who identify these days as girls, were permitted to compete in a key track meet. The top six finishers would qualify for the regional New England competitions, where lots of college coaches would be attending. And as it developed, these two boys, quote-unquote, well, they finished first and second in the 55-meter race, with the winner actually breaking the Connecticut indoor state record for girls in the 55-meter sprint. Now, at the other end of the spectrum was a high school junior named Selena Soule, and she finished eighth that day. Only the top six would be allowed to advance to the regionals in New England. And as such, Selena did not qualify to compete in the next big race. But she claims that she was denied because the two boys were allowed to take part in the competition. If they hadn't been allowed, then if those two boys didn't finish first and second, then she would have finished sixth in the race and she would have advanced to the regionals. Now, you can see where I'm going with this, and obviously it's a tricky issue. The Connecticut Interscholastic Athletic Conference says that biological boys who identify as girls can compete as girls in high school sports. In fact, Connecticut is one of 17 states that allow transgender high school athletes to compete without any restrictions, according to transathlete.com, which is a website which tracks state policies in high school sports across the country. Other states insist that the transgender athlete must have already started the biological transition in terms of hormone injections in order to qualify. Other states, and you see it gets very, very confusing in all this, other states said athletes must compete according to their birth gender, no matter what their transition state is today. In other words, if you were born as a boy, then you have to compete as a boy in high school sports. Same thing for girls. Now, I'll come back to the situation in a few minutes because, again, it's difficult and it's confusing. And obviously, I want to get your thoughts and comments about this issue at 1-877-337-6666, and our phone lines are open now. I mean, look, let me first state that I know very little about the intricate issues of male-female hormones or transgender surgical reassignment and so on. But for the time being, let's just focus on sports at the high school level. And what does all this mean? Now, first of all, we've talked many times about Title IX, which was passed back in 1972, and how boys can legally play on girls' field hockey teams, and that does happen, particularly in Massachusetts and other places, or that girls will wrestle on boys' teams, or play on boys' ice hockey teams in high school, or they can play baseball or football. But the transgender debate takes all this to a much higher level. Now, have we reached a point now where, I don't know, maybe we should just wipe away any gender differences at all regarding athletes? That is, if a boy claims that he now identifies as a girl in high school, then according to the law in 17 states around the country, he is then eligible to compete in the girls' sports, like these two male high school sprinters in Connecticut who are, say, they're transitioning, and they competed and won. And coming back to this sprinter, the girl who got left behind, is this fair to her? Well, suddenly a couple of boys say, you know, we're transitioning to becoming female, and under state law, they are allowed legally to compete against girls, and she ends up not qualifying for the big regional meet. Now, she doesn't want to openly complain because she fears, of course, there'll be retribution, not only from her classmates as well as from college coaches. I mean, this is obviously a very, very highly sensitive issue. But on the other hand, she ends up as the ultimate loser because the two boys came in first and second in the 55-meter sprint, and that ruined her chance to compete in front of college coaches at the New England Regional. So what's fair here? And how would you feel this happened to your daughter? All right, let me take some calls about this because there are other situations that have cropped up the last couple of years that I want to get into as well. And I will tell you up front, I've tried to find out how many transgender athletes there are in high school. It's very hard to pinpoint a precise number because most of these athletes are not particularly forthcoming. However, we do know all these cases that are popping up that it is becoming more and more of a commonplace kind of situation. 1-877-337-6666. Let's start our discussion this morning with Rob out in Lake Success. Rob, good morning. You're on the fan.
Good morning, Rick. I've been really busy listening to your podcast. I've been racing a lot, so it's right up my alley. The Boston Marathon, I ran the Brooklyn Half yesterday. So this is something that's dear to my heart when it comes to track and field.
Yep.
Here's my position. Here's my personal position. Number one, because it's an individual sport that goes on time, this particular girl who finished sixth will be found anyway because she ran a time, even though she might not get an opportunity to compete at a state meet. Okay, so just on that end, she might lose out there, but she'll have a time recorded, and someone will know. No one just comes out of the woodwork in this individual sport like swimming because they're based on times. Everybody is known out there.
So agreed.
That's a good thing. But as far as a transgender, this is very tricky because we're going to get political here, and I've never heard you go down this road, all right? My personal feeling is this, and it's a personal feeling. If you are in transition, okay, then and you are still a particular sex, whatever your sex is at that particular point, male or female,
mm-hmm.
you should not be allowed to compete till the complete change, whether it even be in the Olympic Games, whether it be in Olympic trials, or even at the high school, because I think these individuals know at an early age, and this is up for discussion as well, but maybe not for this show, they know what sex they really are born with internally. But I think it should not be allowed till it's officially the change, because males and females, that's why in racing there are differences. Males are stronger than females, especially in sprinting, which is a power sport, Rich. Aerobic sports, look at the different times. Men and women run different times on the track because they're just not biologically the same. So
mm-hmm.
these boys, because they are still physically males at this particular point, they have an advantage over every female. And it is unfair, and that's why they have different age groups, and they have a male and female track and field events. Otherwise, they just lump everybody together.
Well, Rob, I think your perspective on this is that perhaps that, and I am looking for solutions here, and that would be that. Well, that they if they're going to want to transition, they should not be allowed to compete.
That's my stand. To answer the question,
yeah.
My stand is if you believe once the transition is completed, then you could compete at where you are at that particular point. At this particular point, because it's something that they're not there yet, they have a distinct advantage being a male because they are more powerful, they're stronger, and the body chemistry is completely different. And, Rick, I really – I'm fascinated. I'm listening to this hour, and I've always been listening. I've been catching all your podcasts. Just
well,
so you know.
Thank you, Rob. Of course, I know you're a loyal listener, and I appreciate your interest.
You got it, Rick, always. All right, I'm going to listen to the rest of your show.
Thanks, Rob. And Rob makes a good point about this, that maybe – okay, fine, if you're going to transition, you understand that's going to take a year or two – But you're not going to be able to compete at the high school level. And we'll talk in a few minutes about the NCAA and their position on this as well. But, you know, that may be the ultimate situation. The one point I want to make during the course of the hour is that there is no federal guidelines in this. This is a state mandate. And you'll hear in a few minutes about a high school wrestler in Texas and how the Texas laws are different from Connecticut. Let's move on. Let's go up to Brett in Connecticut. Hi, Brett. You're on the Fan. Good morning.
Oh, thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm going to piggyback off of what the last listener said, except I believe there is an inequality that when a guy is, like, if you're born a man and then you become a girl, you're absolutely going to be stronger. Even if you go through the entire transition, I still believe that because you were born a man, your muscle strength and your muscle mass, you're still going to be stronger than a girl no matter what. So even if you go through the transition, I still think you're going to be stronger. I don't know what the statistics are, but I would love to know about a girl who tried to transition to become a man winning any event, because I would say that would be very highly unlikely. That's pretty much all I have to say.
Right. Okay, well, thanks. And I there aren't that many studies or research that I could find about this because obviously it's a relatively new phenomenon. I mean, if you go back long enough, of course, there's the celebrated case of Dr. Renee Richards, but that was some time ago. But for the most part, it seems that the transgender phenomenon has been more recent years. It's taking place more and more. And again, it's sort of uncharted territory because we all agree, of course, Title IX was a great move forward in terms of equality for boys and girls and men and women in sports. But now, and we do have these complicated issues where we've seen, again, where in certain places, in certain school districts, you know, boys are allowed to play on a girls' field hockey team, and girls sometimes play on a boys' ice hockey team, and girls sometimes play football. It gets a little clattered with all this, but that's where we are today. Now, as I said, there are other cases that I want to talk about this morning in terms of transgender situations and how these kids are allowed to compete according to the state in which they live, and it gets very, very, as I say, very complex. And again, of course, it's an emotional issue. I don't want to make this into a political situation because I'm not really prepared to go down that pathway. I'm talking really about how it affects the boys and girls in high school, not only if they're allowed to compete as transgender athletes, but how that has an impact or an effect upon the other girls and boys who also are competing, like this girl who's a sprinter who found herself not having a chance to advance to the New England Regionals because two boys basically placed ahead of her. Okay, 1-877-337-6666, that's our number. I'm curious to get your thoughts about this because, as I said, it's something that is really kind of a curious anomaly, and I don't think it's going to go away soon. Let me take a pause. John Minko is here this morning. He has your flash. I'll be back. Take your call. Stay with me. Welcome back to the Sports Edge. We're talking this morning about perhaps the most complicated issue in amateur sports today, what to do with transgender athletes in high school. And we're taking your calls at 1-877-337-6666. As I mentioned earlier, nobody has a real accurate number of how many high school kids are transitioning from one gender to the other, but clearly it's happening more and more, and a lot of these individuals happen to be serious athletes, like the two male sprinters competing as girls in Connecticut, which, again, under Connecticut law, is totally legit. Now, let me tell you a case study from Texas. There's a high school wrestler there named Mac Beggs, who was born a girl. Her original name was Mackenzie Beggs, and she's been transitioning to a boy over the last couple of years. And Mac Beggs also happens to be a top-notch wrestler. In fact, the last 2 years, she's been the Texas state champ in the girls' division. Now, Mac says that he would much prefer to wrestle against boys. Again, remember now, he's transitioning from a girl to being a boy. But in Texas, under Texas state law, as in several other states, you compete interscholastically according to your gender at birth. And thus, Mac Beggs can only compete in high school wrestling as a female because, again, she was born as a girl. Now, is this unfair? Suppose your daughter had lost to Beggs. I mean, how would she feel about that? Because clearly, if you look at pictures of Mac Beggs today, you know, he is, by all accounts, looks like a guy, and he is. But my point is, just like with those two sprinters in Connecticut, Well, under the if they were competing in Texas, what Texas says, you compete according to your birth, your gender at birth. Well, those boys would have been forced to run in the male competition, not against the girls. So this gender issue gets very, very complicated. It's very difficult. Again, there are no federal laws or guidelines about this. This is a state-by-state situation. And again, this Mac Beggs, this wrestler in Texas, again, you know, he has said he'd much prefer to compete against boys, but by Texas law, he can only compete against girls. And again, he's been dominant in the 110-pound weight division the last 2 years. I don't think he's lost a match. So at the college level, well, there are NCAA rules as well. And we'll get that in a second. But let's get some more calls about this to see what people think. Let's go to Middletown, Jesse. Jesse, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Hey, good morning. I just want to start off by saying thank you for bringing up this issue. I know it's very touchy and it's hard to have a tasteful opinion on it, but I feel like a lot of people do have opinions on it. So I appreciate you bringing it up.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to start by saying I'm usually okay with any, you know, the gender spectrum, you know, you want to transition. It's okay. Do whatever you want. But with that being said, I do want to say it's unfair for the sprinters, you know, case specifically. You know, sports, especially at the high school level where you're getting introduced to, you know, peer pressure, drugs, you know, it's a big, you know, it's already a big transitioning time of your life. With that being said, you also said at the beginning of the show that, you know, the high school coach yelling at players and students is a prehistoric time. But at the same time, you know, sports is one of the biggest teachers of discipline. And again, especially at that age, I played, you know, high school and some college soccer, and you know, the gender issue, I was held back because of my genetics. You know, I'm 5'6", and I was 5'6" in high school. I couldn't play basketball as much as I wanted to. You know, I wasn't going to be able to be a, you know, formidable basketball player. So I stuck to soccer, and it's just that's the hand that I was dealt. You know,
right.
These boys, you know, have to play with the hand that they're dealt. And, you know, I don't know their backstory, but maybe they couldn't make it on the guys' team, and maybe they couldn't qualify for regional. So, but again, it's transitioning to a girl and then still having your cake and eating it too at you know, at your sport, it's just a little unfair to the girls who have worked so hard, especially a high school senior who might not get that chance in college or you know,
Jesse,
past college.
I think what you just said and outlined it, yeah, it's a very complicated situation, and it'd be nice if there were some real guidelines. Again, depending in this case, the states in which these athletes live and reside in, that right now pretty much determines how they're going to compete in high school, either on the boys' team or the girls' team. And as I said, doing some research about this, it's clear that the states are all over the map on this. That they just, Texas is different from Connecticut, as is different from California. It's really difficult for any athlete to get a handle on what's the right approach on this. Jesse, thank you for the call. Let me move on to Stan in Westport, New York. Stan, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Hi, a fascinating topic. I mean, I just tell you a quick story. I have two athletes, one graduated and the other still in high school, but boy and a girl, and they came back a couple of summers ago after the summer and said, Dad, you know, there's about a dozen or more kids in school that are in the process of transitioning gender and such. So it's very much on the front burner.
Mm-hmm.
What I would say though is individual choice and desire, and then accepting, for instance, in the case of a college scholarship, commercial value of sometimes a large magnitude, and then, you know, having that reflect on somebody else that didn't get it. So I would kind of tend to agree that the boys that competed as sprinters, that's an issue, because the young lady who didn't get it may, you know, she may prevail, but it might have increased her chances, etc. So as long as you're exchanging commercial value, that's a huge issue. And I think what's going to happen over time, obviously it's going to go legal on a number of fronts, but I also think if the NCAA comes out with a policy, and I think you're going to touch on that in a minute.
Right.
So I'm fascinated to hear about it. But I think their tendency, in my opinion, being a national organization and in academia, is probably going to be leaning to the more progressive side, if anything. And that will dictate what happens at the high school level, because even if, say, a transgender student didn't get a chance to be in state finals or something, posting the time.
Stan, we're having some difficulty, but I get your drift. In fact, thank you for your thoughts. You mentioned, of course, about the NCAA is perhaps adding some clarification because they are the National Collegiate Athletic Association. And people want to know, okay, what happens to these high school transgender athletes if they do go on to compete in college? And the NCAA does have a policy, and let me see if I can sort of read this. And again, it's a bit complicated, but I'll do the best I can. First of all, you should know that the NCAA does not require gender-confirming surgery or legal recognition of a player's transition sex in order for a transgender athlete to participate on a team which matches their identity. But things get a little more complicated when hormones are used. The recommended NCAA policy requires at least 1 year of hormone treatment as a condition prior to the athletes competing on a female team. In other words, I think that means that if you're a male and you want to transition to a female, you need to do at least a year of hormone treatment before you can then be allowed to compete on a woman's team. Obviously, we're talking about, you know, at least having a whole year of this kind of treatment so that you are getting enough hormone therapy to show that you now really are seriously progressing to being a female as opposed to being a male. Conversely, athletes assigned female at birth remain eligible to compete in women's sports unless or until the athlete begins a physical transition using hormones, which I assume means testosterone. In other words, if you were born as a guy and you want to compete in the NCAA as a woman, you need to undergo at least 1 year of hormone therapy. But if you're a girl, you can still compete on women's teams in college unless you have done a year of testosterone therapy, hormone therapy, to transition to a guy. So it's complicated stuff from how you look at this, but the NCAA is sort of hooking all this on the fact that, you know, if you're going to transition, you got to do at least a year of hormone therapy to make that transition in order to compete. I know they say here about, well, you can do this if you're a woman or a girl, but once you start making that transition with real physical attributes, then you're going to have to basically, you know, figure out if you're still eligible to compete as a woman. Let's continue with our calls. Let's go to Ron over in Brooklyn this morning. Ron, good morning. You're on the fan.
Good morning. I've solved your problem about the law and everything. Are
Great.
You ready?
Sure.
Good. Boys, one is boys. Girls, one is girls. And transitions, one is transitions. That's all you have to do. That's it.
Ron, I hadn't considered that. You're basically making sort of a, if you will, a third category of athletes. Is that what you're telling me?
So what? Before the boys used to run, then the girls started running.
Yeah.
Now you got the transitions running. You don't have to go any. That's it. They believe their transitions. Let them run their transitions. So that's it. No lawsuits, no nothing, no doctors, no waiting years for this and that. It's done. That's it.
Ron, I'm open to any possibilities, and that's a interesting option. Thank you for suggesting that. And, you know, the fact is, yeah, maybe Ron's got a good point. That's how you do it. You just met a new category of athletes. You're not male. You're not female. You're transgender. And I don't know how to think that through, and maybe that is a solution. I just don't know. Let's move on to Alex in Belmore. Hey, Alex, good morning. You're on the fan.
Hey, how's it going?
Yes.
I just have a quick comment. I know we've spoken a lot about boys that are transitioning to girls that are competing at the girl athlete level. One thing I haven't heard is girls that are transitioning to be boys that are still competing on the girl level, they're taking testosterone. If it was a boy that was taking testosterone, that would be an issue as well. So I just want to, I'll hang up and hear your opinion on that.
Okay, well, Alex, that I think that's, you know, getting into this a little more deeply. And, testosterone, that does come up. That seems to be the key from what I can figure out on this. And I'm not obviously a biologist, but I do think the testosterone levels are key in all this. And clearly when girls are taking hormone treatment to transition to a boy, they're taking more and more testosterone. And again, I come back to that case of this wrestler in Texas, Mac Beggs, who was born a girl and has transitioned to being a boy in high school. But again, under Texas state law, your eligibility in high school athletics is determined by your gender when you were born. So even though he's pretty much looks like a guy now, and he would prefer to wrestle against boys, he is limited to competing in the Texas wrestling meets and the state championships as a girl. Yeah, this is getting complicated. I do know the testosterone levels. In fact, one of the things I came across and this gets now to the Olympics and the track and field. Wasn't there a case a year or so ago? Maybe it's still going on of a woman who was a runner and she was born. She's a female, but she happened to be born with higher levels of testosterone that would basically not make her eligible to compete in the Olympics. And there was quite a to-do as to what, you know, to do about this woman. It wasn't like she was taking hormone therapy or injecting herself with testosterone, which, again, we all know that's the baseline. Testosterone gives you the greatest strength that male athletes tend to have over female athletes. But this was a case where this woman just was, for some reason, genetically had a higher level of testosterone, which would have disqualified her from the Olympics. So the question, I think, that was resolved, they said, well, if you want to run, you're going to have to take injections to lower your testosterone level. Again, this gets you're really going down a rabbit hole here in terms of trying to figure out who's eligible and who isn't. But again, that's, I believe, in the Olympic situation. Again, I'm just focused today on high school and the NCAA. Again, this is complicated stuff. I don't know if there's an answer or not. I go back to Ron's comment. Maybe you just have a third category of there is boys and there's girls, and now there are transgenders. And they all compete in their own little sort of, you know, subsection. That may be something that's worth exploring. I don't know. All right, let me take a pause in our conversation this morning. Again, I want to take your calls at 1-877-337-6666. Stay with me. I'll take back to your calls when I return. And don't forget, of course, that Ed will be here at 9 o'clock this morning, and he will be, in fact, chatting about the national pastime, talking baseball. And as always, I invite you to check out my website and my blog at AskCoachWolf.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at #AskCoachWolf. Right now, we're discussing the rights of transgender athletes in high school to compete at that level and also at the collegiate level as well. This is, again, we've openly admitted, this is a very complicated, very complex situation. Looking for some solutions that are fair both to the athletes who are transitioning from one gender to another and also to the other athletes they compete against. Because is it fair if a kid who is transitioning from, let's say, a male to a female, and that individual is running against other women, other girls, and they dominate, is that fair to the girls who are competing against them? 1-877-337-6666. In fact, you know, during my research, I came across the case of a highly recruited swimmer at Harvard who was a top female swimmer in high school and a real, real star competitor. But once she landed at Harvard, this is only a few years ago, she then decided to transition to being a male. And so she left the women's swim team and she swam for the men's team. And, you know, now under the NCAA rules, I believe she could have continued to have swum on the women's team, but then when she started to use testosterone injections, that made her say, well, no, you're ineligible to be a female swimmer. You have to now compete on the men's team. So this goes on. I always make headlines, but it's clearly going on. As one of the callers said a few minutes ago, this is happening more and more around the country. All right, let's go back to our calls. Let's go. I'm curious to get to what Jack Smithlin has to say about this. Jack, good morning. What about the? I mean, have you seen this as in years as a high school coach? Have you seen this kind of situation?
Actually, Rick, I have. I actually have seen it a few times. In fact, I have a relative who actually played lacrosse in high school as a female.
Yeah.
And now actually went through the transition, is now a transvestite, and is a male playing in college on a boys lacrosse team at a Division III school. Very good, very skilled player, but, you know, strength at that particular point didn't matter. I mean, when it comes to strength, like you spoke about before, with with Rene Richards, who was actually born Richard Raskin.
Right.
He was the only person in the world that played in the U.S. Open tennis as a male and a female.
Mm-hmm.
And the USTA actually would not allow him to play, actually her to play. And she sued them and won the case, I believe, in the mid-70s. And in 1977, actually participated and got beat by Navratilova in the first round, but actually advanced, I think, all the way to the finals in the doubles. Here's my solution. And your first caller, our buddy Rob from Long Island.
Yeah, Dr. Rob Freed. Right.
Yep. Good to hear your voice, Rob. This is it. If you are a male and you've done your transition and you've gone from a male to a female, you should be allowed to participate.
Mm-hmm.
But during the transitional point, okay, when you are transitioning from male to female or female to male, you should not be allowed.
Right.
Because no matter what you say, no matter what you do, you're still a female until the transition takes place. You know, the strength factors are very, very important. And a lot of your calls have talked about it. You know, when a male goes from a male to a female, okay, their testosterone level is so high to begin with that their strength levels are just so much more dominant. You know, this does not play a factor, I believe, shouldn't, in Title IX. Title IX was equality for men and male and female. And if a high school doesn't have a male sport,
mm-hmm.
the female should be allowed to participate.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I coached that female wrestler at Fairlawn High School. I mean, she didn't want to be a male. She just loved the sport of wrestling and became very, what about those kids that she beat, you know?
Right.
And, you know, this is a, you know, if you want to set a rule, make it simple. If you transition from male to female and you are now a female, you can participate in female sports. All right. Now, the strength factor will be a big factor, but it's, you know, black and white, case closed. And that's, you know, I agree with Rob. And as far as the times in running, you know, her times are going to be compared to female times, not the two male times that beat her. So like Rob said, you know, she'll qualify for meets and big meets and state meets and stuff like that. But when, you know, when you're only taking the top three and those two boys beat out the other two girls, you know, that's a point. That's a point.
Jackie,
second, because, go ahead.
No, so, you know, this is, again, there might be, I'm just trying to play devil's advocate here. I mean, at what point if you say, okay, all right, you're going to take a year to transition.
Right.
Is that it? So if you want to make this announcement that you're going to now change your gender, okay, you understand you're going to sit for a year while you go through this, and then as you come out the other end, then you can compete in your new gender, correct?
Exactly. But also, one other point to that, Rick, is that while you're transitioning, while you are going over, if now you're becoming you're getting testosterone shots, now you got to follow the laws of, you know, of, I mean, the rules of drugs. You're not fulfilling the rules of drugs. You can't take testosterone. It's an illegal drug in most sports. Okay, so now you're going to have to follow that. But once your transition takes place,
mm-hmm.
you know, now it's a different story. Now mm-hmm. you are, no matter what, transition, I mean, you know, trans, you know, is an umbrella term. And what it means is that these are people that are born in a sex that they don't feel they are. I mean, it's, you know, it's something that differs. You feel different from the sex that you were born to.
Mm-hmm.
So in reality, you have a choice. And I had a student in my school that was the same, and we knew it right away. And as soon as that person graduated from college, they became a transvestite. They switched their sex.
Yeah,
and
well,
it's
just
a very,
yeah. I just want to be clear, and I'm hardly an expert in this area, Jack, but we're talking about transsexuals, not transvestites, correct?
Right. Well, yes, transsexuals, you know,
I mean, that's the actual biological switching of genders.
Yes.
Transvestite would be more just somebody who's dressing in the opposite gender's clothing. So,
that's a cross train. That's a yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. You're right.
This is, as
no,
I said,
you're right.
I just say, you Jack, this is a most unusual topic to be discussing early on a Sunday morning on a sports parenting show.
And
however,
I bring it up to you. Yeah. I mean, I give you credit for bringing this forward. It's a great topic.
But clearly, for a lot of people, a lot of coaches, a lot of parents.
Right.
As we said, we've seen this is happening more and more. It's becoming, I wouldn't say commonplace, but clearly it's happening enough where it's making headlines in states around the country, and people are saying, okay, how do we make this so it's all fair for everybody involved? And,
I think the fair way to do it is, you know, and that's my opinion, and I think Rob, you know, felt the same thing.
Yep.
That, you know, what you need to do is if you transform, you go from male to female, now you can compete in that sport. But during that time, you know, like all these states, like you said, are making all these rules. They all have different rules and regulations. You know, it's a tough topic. And once again, I give you a lot of credit for bringing this up, because you're making a lot of people that are not aware.
Yeah.
And
well,
that's what your show is about. And on your second point that you wanted to get to, that I don't know whether you're going to get to, coaches that are yelling and screaming, try coaching from the heart.
Yeah.
All right?
No,
Do that, and you'll have a successful team of successful players. But if you don't have a heart, find something else to do.
Agreed. Jack, thanks as always. I appreciate your comments.
Right.
Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Take care.
Thanks,
and I don't think we'll have time this morning to get into a discussion about coaching techniques, but obviously that is something we will come back to in the very near future. Let's go on to Jay at Long Island. Jay, good morning. You're on The Fan.
Good morning. Hi. I feel like transgender should have their own league. I think that we have a men's league, we have a women's league, and right now you don't see men playing in the WNBA. You really don't see women playing in the NBA. And I think if you want to be a transgender, I think you should be playing your own league, because I feel that however people may think about it, it's basically like if you're going from a female to a male or vice versa, it's performance enhancement to me as a sport. So, you know, if you have to take shots and testosterone and this and that becomes this gender, right? Now what you're doing is you're enhancing yourself. So if we're going to enhance ourselves, why can't my son feel like, you know, hey, I'm scrawny, I'm only 110. You know, I feel that I should be a 190-pound guy, so I want to take these shots and enhance myself as well.
Yep.
You know, so I don't agree with the transgender, like, you know, becoming a woman, playing male, becoming a woman. I'm okay if you want to make the change. I have no problem with anyone who wants to make a change. But I feel like when it comes to competition-wise, it should go by your birth, or you should have your own league. Because in my example, and I ask people all the time, right, if I have a Hyundai Elantra and I want to get the max dollar, can I strip my Hyundai Elantra parts down, put Mercedes-Benz parts on it, and then sell it to you as a Mercedes-Benz to get Max? Are you going to accept that?
What?
Are you going to let me sell that to you?
Jay, let's clarify here. I mean, yes, you know, an earlier caller had mentioned the fact that maybe there should be a separate category, male, female, and then transgender for athletes. And that's something that you obviously are thinking about as well. As far as going just by your birth gender, as they do in Texas, that gets complicated, as we've seen with this Texas wrestler. So I would think, just on the, you know, on the face of this, and Jay, thank you for your thoughts this morning. You know, it seems to me that having a separate category would make the most sense. However, how many people are transgender at a high school? Will that really be a substantial category to compete in? And as Jack Smithlin had suggested, you know, maybe just say, look, if you're going to basically say, I'm going to go through this process, well, as soon as you do this, then you're going to basically sit out for at least a year, which admittedly is a long time if you're an athlete, to go through this transition, so that you're not going to, you know, basically have these kind of complicating situations where, in fact, well, is this a male? Is it a female? Where do they compete? Is that fair to the other competitors in that gender? And so on and so forth. And also, depending on what state they live in, whether it's Connecticut or Texas or other states, it's very, very difficult to pinpoint what's the right thing to do here. And again, this is why I'm thinking that, you know, this needs to be more examined more closely. Even at the NCAA level, you know, they've had a policy, but it's hard to figure this out. Okay, but they're also saying if you want to compete, you're going to make a transition for a year. That's really the key in all this, a transitional year. And when you start taking therapy with hormones or testosterone to figure out where you're going to be. And the last question I would ask on this is, okay, is a year enough time? If you're going through a surgical transformation, does a year give you enough time to make that transformation complete? I honestly don't know. Again, this is not an area which I've said right at the get-go. I'm not that savvy in because it is, to me, sort of a new science. But again, these are the things that younger generation are thinking about. All right, let me take a quick time out. I shall return. Stay with me.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.